But welcome everyone, and happy Mother's Day, all of you mothers. And I hope you are appropriately, in fact, more than appropriately honored, abundantly honored, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And if you expectations are sometimes high. Hard to meet, but I understand that it's like mega millions of cards. That this is like the day for cards and for flowers and phone calls. I mean, it's like the busiest day in all of those categories. And so now I'm all of a sudden feeling like I should have done more. I guess I've still got a few hours, so. And my wife has done something. I know that there are flowers for. Wow. Nicely done, sweetheart. Yeah, it's not till next month. Long, long ways away. I think you got duct tape last year or something. So here's a question. What qualifies a woman, a mother, to be Mother of the Year? We used to do something in the church that I was raised in. It seemed like every Mother's Day, at least this is my recollection, there was always a big deal, and it was like, who's the youngest mother, and who's the oldest mother, or maybe not the oldest mother, but who's the mother that has the most kids, and who's... I don't know, just those kinds of things, and that's nice, and that's a way to honor. But you know, we think of, you know, what qualifies, you know, someone to receive such a, like, Mother of the Year. I mean, that'd be quite an honor. What kinds of things come to mind?
Endurance.
Yeah.
Patience. Persistence, never giving up.
Kindness,
yes.
Sacrifice.
Wisdom, yes. Mother's wisdom. Superwoman. Yes. How about God believing or God fearing? This morning, in just kind of in keeping with celebrating of Mother's Day, I want to. Give a message that, as you might expect, comes from the pages of Scripture. That's always good, yes. But it's about a most unlikely candidate for Mother of the Year. In fact, it would be easy. Let's all stand, please, and I am going to get my own clicker yet. Anyhow, Rahab is the mom, and the reason, let me just kind of back up, pretend like you don't know it's Rahab, but not only is she of Jewish descent, she had a past. You might even call it a sordid past. Or a lot of others. She might have been referred to in Jericho as a lady of the evening. Yeah, did I say she was?
Yeah.
I didn't read my notes here. Not only was she not, double negative, thank you, Kent. Not only was she not, because this is very important. So I'll say it again. Not only was she not of Jewish descent, she had a what would seem like a maybe not a unforgivable but a not a good past, and of course the scripture, in fact the scripture refers to her as Rahab the harlot or the prostitute, and virtually, and many times, it must be maybe as many as 10 times, maybe not quite that many, but I'll talk about a few of them, all but one place. There's one place that she's not referred to as Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. Her life is summarized in Hebrews 11:31. You can put that one up now. And I appreciate. I'm grateful for you guys to do my slides. Can you read that? I'll read it to you. By faith, the walls of Jericho, this is actually the 30th verse, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, say that with me, by faith. Say it again. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. I like the King James word here, believed not. Rahab's story, however, is first revealed when Joshua leads the Israelites across the Jordan into the promised land after all of those years wandering in the wilderness, and he sends a couple of spies to check out the land. So this isn't the initial 12 spies. This is now they're in the land. And in fact, let's pick it up at Joshua chapter 2. And then, how appropriate is this for Mother's Day? Then Joshua, the son of Nun. There's got to be a good joke there, but... secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman, Rahab, had taken the two men and hidden them. We are about to discover a couple of things that, and I want you to watch for this, that Rahab had made a decision to break with her people, with her culture, with her world. And she has further made a decision to align herself with God. To the extent that she's aligning herself with God by faith at the risk of her own life. Yes? In fact, I like speaking of the video series, last week Priscilla Shire talked about living in or moving in, staying in that faith place. And I just something resonated, that kind of reverberated in me. Like, that is a good word. That's a good way to describe it. And just be constantly assessing, is that where I am? Am I in that faith place? And we'll talk a little bit more about what that really means. But picking it back up, Rahab said, yes, the men came to see me, but I do not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof, hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know, in fact, say that, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard, let's say that too. Have heard. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. You know, If someone could get me a little cup of water, I've got a little tickle that is not going away. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God, why don't you read that last verse for me, will you? Can you read that? No, that last line. For the Lord. That was pretty good. Thank you. That is going to help. What have they heard? Yes. Now then, please swear to me. Rahab goes on. She's talking to the spies. She says, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness. Chesed. That's the loving kindness that is spoken of throughout the scripture when it's talking about the way God treats those with whom he is faithful to love and to care for. Show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. The spies respond, our lives for your lives. In other words, if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope. You like my little picture there? I saw that and I go. She let them down by the rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She says to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. So the men said to her, this oath you have made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father, mother, brothers, and your whole family into their house. If any of them go outside your house to the street, their blood will be on their own hands. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. She says, agreed. Let it be as you say. She sent them on their way. They departed. She tied this scarlet cord in the window, and they left and went back and reported to Joshua and said this, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. I like that story. I like Rahab's example. I think she is an incredible example of faith. I have heard, she says, I have heard about your God. I have decided and made a decision to align myself with you, with the Israelites. More importantly, with God. She has made a decision to align herself with God, and she will trust. She heard, she decided, and she trusted in God to show kindness, care, deliverance. And this morning's the title of the message is Faith Like Rahab. I also will refer to last Sunday's video. I heard Priscilla Shire quote her father Dr. Tony Evans, and gave a definition of faith that I had never heard. And of course, there are many. The Hebrews, of course, has what you might say is the definition, Hebrews 11:1. But this is what Dr. Tony Evans says: faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it will be so, simply because God said so. Say that three times real fast after me. Wait, say it again. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it will be so, simply because God said so. Lord Jesus, what you say is what we want to hear and what we want to embrace and what we want to stand on. Because what you say, as we heard earlier this morning, does not return void. Lord, your word is a solid, solid, rock solid, and we want to build our lives on your word and into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned that I like this story for a number of reasons, but it's simply just another one of the many pictures of God's redemptive abilities. It's just displaying his handiwork. I mean, was this story, this really isn't even necessary. I mean, how can I really say that, right? But you know, it's just a story that we get a peek into God's way of how he began to lead the children of Israel and not just into the promised land, but to take possession and to build their faith and to communicate that the relationship and their literal existence must be built on faith and not by sight, not by how things appear. And even though Jericho is this massive walled city, that God had plans for how that city was going to be delivered. And so, but it's more than that. It's also just how God cares for the individual and how he throughout Scripture, it's like one example after another, how God reaches out and not only redeems and rescues lives, but embraces and uses the least likely, at least what we would speak for myself, what I would define as the least likely. And there are so many practical lessons. I'm just going to mention maybe just a couple less than a dozen. And I'm not kidding. But I'm just going to, you'll see that I'm just going to really scratch the surface, I believe, of just so many things that we can draw from this one story. This Old Testament prostitute's faith, and that we can, from that story, glean and apply some things to our lives today. But Mother of the Year? I'll get to that. So here, some practical lessons. Number one, your past does not define you. Or anyone else. And I think that's it's like both of those things. I mean, it's like duh, but we need to hear that and be reminded of that. That the things, because we so tend to look backwards. And especially different seasons, you know, things that I think I'm just past, and all of a sudden something will come up, and it'll just kind of stick, and it ought not to, because my past does not define me. And if I'm aware or see something of somebody else's past, it doesn't define them. We are not defined by our past. 2. Our past doesn't disqualify, therefore, our past doesn't disqualify us. I'm using the term DQ. It doesn't DQ nor diminish God's plans for you. Do I need to say that one again? Our past does not disqualify or diminish God's plans for us. Or anyone else. Do I need to say anything more about that? Probably. 3, note the value of aligning yourself with God. And this very well may be the focal point of the message. The value, the importance, the necessity of aligning ourselves with God and His Word. And not just occasionally or when it's convenient or when we're desperate, but that would be the pattern, that would be the thing that we're committed to. I don't know, maybe another amen might be good there. Please recognize the value of aligning yourself with God. We must recognize that. I mean, it seems like it's like, again, like so obvious, but living by faith, and instead of it is so counter to our culture or counter to everything that we are used to, or our tendency is we're more geared by nature to make assessments and go by what we see, make judgments by what we see and how things feel, rather than living and walking by faith. And the need to, like Rahab, live in that faith place. I'll use that term again. That too much of the time, although we are believers, tell me if this isn't true. Too much of the time, even though we are believers in Jesus Christ, believers in God's Word, we find ourselves living more like, as, say it this way, more as the world does, rather than as God's Word and as God designed for us to live. By sight instead of by faith. We allow what we see and hear to dictate more than, at least often, more than what God's Word dictates. Do you believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? It is. That's why I'm preaching this word, is because I think it's a word that we must be reminded of, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, lives in us, empowers us, enables us. And that even though when it looks like the world and it appears that the world or the walls are literally falling down, that God's Word always stands. It never changes. 4, that was just 3. 4, however, aligning with God will cost you something. Rahab risking her life. But aligning yourself with the world will cost you even more. Look what happened had she not aligned with God. 5. Here is yet another example why we don't judge a book by its cover. Yes? A prostitute? Come on. There had to be somebody more worthy. Six. So I can move through these fairly fast. Yet another example of the importance of being Spirit-led. And you see, I mean, you can see that we could go along a lot of ways if I were to take the time and say, well, you know, what are some other lessons? I mean, there would be a bunch of lessons that we can draw just from this one occurrence. But the importance of being Spirit-led, the two spies, was it just a quick, you know, oh, here they come, duck in the first door? I don't think so. I don't know. We don't know. There is no, did Rahab seek them out? Did they, we don't know those things. But nonetheless, the importance of being Spirit-led and them, what we do know is they trusted her. Here, hide under the flax on the roof, you know, and the knock, knock, knock that comes to the door, you know, and they didn't even bother to at least there's no indication that they bothered to tear the place apart. They, quick, they just left. They went that away, and off they go. So the trust, the spirit, the need for us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, even when, could say more about that. Yet another example, number 7, of God using, I've mentioned this earlier, but again, another example of God using the least likely, at least in our eyes. That should be a reminder that, oh God, these eyes. I have these eyes and this mind. Like Peter, Jesus says, you have in mind the things of man and not the things of God. You know, and there's that constant challenge. God, do I, that's another, almost a, not just a daily question, but throughout, many times throughout the day. Do I have in mind the things of God or the things of man? Am I depending upon my wisdom, my understanding, or God's lead, God's wisdom? Number 8, faith in God has far-reaching effects. Oh, now we're going to talk a little bit about why she might qualify. I'm still trying to convince you that she could be a candidate for Mother of the Year. Faith in God has far-reaching effects. Thank you for that. It's true. Faith in God has far-reaching, far beyond what we can imagine or hope for. Rahab the harlot, she meets and marries whom? Yes. Salmon. Sama. There's a couple of different spellings of his name. But do you know that he becomes, and when I say the father of, I should say the founder of what city? Anybody have an idea? What, maybe I should say city, maybe I should say town or village. Bethlehem. It's in Second Chronicle, or it's in First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 51, if you're taking notes. More than that, Rahab and Salmon give birth to a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz, I'll just, you know, as we follow the lineage here a little bit, Boaz meets a young lady by the name of, and they give birth to Obed. That's right. Thank you. Ruth, also not Jewish. Moabite. This is so fun. This is so like God. It is. And so Obed, we're Obed now. That's the son of Ruth and Boaz. And who's Obed the father of? Jesse. Now we're getting to a little familiar name, yes? Jesse had 7 sons, the youngest of whom is? And I don't need to go all the way down because I think there's 14 more generations between David and Jesus. But This is stuff that most of us know, I mean, obviously, but it's, I cease to be amazed at God's way of saying, you know what? Hey, by the way, if you look in Matthew and you read down through the lineage, who reads through all that stuff? I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, I kind of read through it. But if, when I'm looking, I looked in the scripture just to see that it was Rahab, the same Rahab, and this is the only place, by the way, in Matthew's lineage where Rahab isn't mentioned as Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. The only place. James, Hebrews, there's a couple other places that just places where they're highlighting her, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second too if I have time. But the fact that there are three women mentioned in the lineage in Matthew's account. Only three. All the guys are there, but there are three women that are included. Only three. Rahab's one of them. Bathsheba the adulteress. And who said that? But not my name. What is she referred to? Yeah, Uriah's wife, it says. Good catch. Who's the third one? Big bonus points for this one. And just hold that one for a second. There's the Old Testament. And in fact, it's before Bathsheba, before Rahab, it's, you may not even know that she is, No. Who said that? Tamar, how do we know how to pronounce these names? But I'll just say Tamar. And Tamar, now she's not a prostitute, my wife reminded me, but she disguised herself, and Judah was the father of Perez? The fact is that Judah along with Tamar are in the lineage of the Messiah. And I just think that those kinds of little tidbits that aren't little tidbits, they're huge, to remind us that God is constantly from the beginning of time redeeming, not disqualifying and not shaming and not condemning, punishing sin, but always redeeming, always rescuing, always at least extending the rescue, the love, those that would be redeemed. Doesn't that just warm your heart? And so, you know, I just suggest, you know, not only is she mother, but she's mother, well, at least of this year. Now, somebody mentioned Mary, not Mary Magdalene. It's true that Mary is actually, there is four, just right at the end, just kind of a token reference. I know it's moving right along here, but... I've used this before. Anybody down $20 that maybe could use? Actually, I'm not actually volunteering to give money away. I'm just saying, you know, that what's the value of this $20 bill with Alexander Hamilton's picture on it? $20. Or Jackson. Sorry, but you know, if I were to take this $20 bill, and it was a pretty crisp one too. Is this illegal? Okay. Yeah. You know, and how much less value have I? And if I throw it on the ground and step on it, and I don't want to destroy it, but you get the idea. I mean, it's just there are things that we look at, the way people are treated, and we tend, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, we tend to make judgments, assessments, and we might not totally disqualify. In basketball, you get how many fouls before you're disqualified? So I like that because, yeah, depending on which league you're in, we may not be disqualifying people, but I think we give fouls. That's a foul. Or we call it on ourselves. Who but God would have chosen Rahab for the role of being in the messianic lineage? Who but God? What has God chosen you for? I just think sometimes God has chosen us for more than we realize and has in mind things for us more than we realize. And the need to just trust God that He will show His kindness. He will always show His kindness. But the need for us to be a people, we don't earn His kindness, but we are instructed to live in that faith place. That place where we're walking by faith and trusting in God. We are aligned. I just love that picture, that definition of aligning, that the need for us to be aligning. I am aligning myself with God and His ways, and then trusting Him to bring the deliverance, trusting Him to bring the salvation, trusting Him to show His kindness, and trusting Him to use my life in ways that I never would otherwise imagine. Can I say this again? Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it will be so, simply because God said so. Lord Jesus, why do we doubt? Why do we worry? Why do we despair? Why do we judge? Lord, let those things be reminders that maybe we're not so aligned with You as we think or as we ought. Lord, would You remind us the things that we face, that we would remember to realign, because You simply said so, because Your word says so, even though everything around us looks the opposite. Lord, we want to be a people that are living in that place of faith. Lord, I pray that You would help our eyes to see and to focus on the eternal and not be so preoccupied with the temporal. Lord, that's a constant challenge in these days. But Lord, we thank You for Your word. Your word is visible. Lord, we can read it. We can memorize it, and we can trust completely in Your word. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for how You redeem. Thank You for how You love. And thank You for how You see farther down the road than we do. We bless your name this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? Yeah, who would put Rahab and Abraham in the same sentence? God. Justified by her works, James says. Her and Abraham. If Abraham is referred to as the father of faith, I wonder if Rahab could be referenced as the mother of faith. I don't know. But I think so. So may God keep his hand upon each of you. May God show his kindness to each of you. And may we remember to align ourselves with Almighty God. In Jesus' name. Just again, an invitation to prayer. If you like prayer in the front, come on up this morning. On my calendar, it's okay. So there'll be people to pray.